grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've said before, our text for this morning's message is from that Old Testament reading we read a few moments ago. Behold, I will send a messenger to prepare, and he will prepare the way before me. And then, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed, dear friends in Christ. In Malachi chapter 2, the Lord speaks to the people of Israel. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you say, how have we left you? By following your pagan neighbors, by offering me sacrifices that are lame or sick or blind, by your priests profaning my name. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you say, how have we left you? By being faithless toward the wife of your youth, toward the husband of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord. By robbing me and holding back your tithes and offerings. By being silent when you speak, when you should speak my name. By saying, where is the God of justice when I need him? Oh, that's what you mean, God. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. Maybe what we say now is, have we already left you so far behind that we can't return to you? Or maybe even saying, after all of our dreadful disobedience, or as we suffer so much, even when we have been obedient, have you now left us so far that we can't return to you? Is the Lord so far that we can't return? We're not that much unlike the people of Israel, are we? We're a people who live in the world, and God seems to be far away. See, the habits of the world seem near. Unbelief is very common in this world. The personal will, what I want, is the God of choice. Ethical habits or unethical habits are actually justified by a person's own wants, their own desires. And so the presence of God seems to be like an empty vessel. He seems very far away. Because let's face it, God's not seen and he's not heard. Faith and hope are actually mocked as just superstitious opinions, not truth. And steadfast obedience to divine commandments, well, it's rejected as being narrow-minded or bigoted or even oppressive. Have you ever seen a tarnished piece of silver? How something that is beautiful and silver in color becomes black and dark. See, that's what happens a lot of times when we adopt the ways of the world. It's just like silver tarnishes in open air. We easily adopt the ways of the world. We're influenced by what we see, by what we hear. We're tempted to dismiss, and we are absolutely tempted to dismiss what we don't see and what we don't hear. And gradually, what happens is that, like that tarnish builds on the piece of silver, we're encrusted by habits of thought and act, thoughts and deeds that actually mar and eventually hide the image of God that's in us. So with the world, well, we become confident in our own waywardness. And we sometimes, I know I've said it sometimes as well, we sing the song of the world. Where is the God of justice? Sometimes we even believe that God doesn't care anymore. Sometimes we believe that God's never going to intervene with his justice. And our spirituality becomes marked with cynicism and doubt. Yet God, as he promises, is always near to us. And he's always near in the messengers that he sent. Throughout the history of Israel, he sent prophets who cried out to the people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways, turn away, and from your turn away from your evil deeds. Turn back to the Lord, return to the Lord." Over and over again, we see it in the Psalms, we see it in the prophets. And it's no different with his servant Malachi here. And what he does is, the first thing he does is he rebukes the people for all of their faithlessness, for all of their cynicism. And he warns the people that God's coming with a purifying fire. It's interesting when you purify a metal. I don't know if anybody's ever melted aluminum into, you know, in like a furnace or something like that. Have you ever seen melted aluminum? You get this skin on the top. It's called the dross. And that dross, you have to skim it off because that's all of the impurities that the fire is taking out of the aluminum. It's the same with gold and silver. And I think for silversmiths, when they knew that their silver was refined, was when they could see, when they would skim off the top and they could see their faces in the top of the crucible like a mirror. So Malachi rebukes, and he says, God's coming with purifying fire. That's this pure, to purify us like gold or silver. And he promises the people that those who repented and were purified would actually stand and endure this coming of the Lord. He promised that if these people would return to him, that they would once again be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as it says there in verse 4. So God was near with Malachi, and he was also near to his people with his messenger, John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist do in our gospel lesson? Well, he rebukes those who were in the comfort of their own self-confidence. I remember one of my seminary professors once told me, you know, the task of the preacher is very, very simple. You're here to terrify the comfortable and comfort the terrified. In John the Baptist, he warns the people about God's imminent coming, that the Lord is coming. And he promised that actually his baptism of repentance was preparing the way for the Lord. He promised there was a new freedom to be had, a new freedom from all of the bondage of sin through the forgiveness of that sin. And he promised that man would see God, and he would share in his righteousness. And of course, in our gospel lesson, Luke also, the writer of our gospel today, proclaims the coming of the Lord. See, the way of the Lord was the coming of Jesus. Prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus' sufferings, his going to the cross, that actually was the purifying fire and the fuller soap. He endured the day of his coming and stood under the judgment of God. See, Jesus endured that purifying fire. Jesus, his obedient passion was that offering that was pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old. And his sinlessness, he wasn't purified for his own sins, he was purified for our sins. And his sinlessness is now, of course, the new obedience of a new and purified people. That's talking about you and me. Because we've been purified in his blood. See, and now we are now united with Christ in his death. And because of that, we return to God and He returns to us. We're a people who actually live in a world, and in this world, with God who's very near to us. Let's face it, the habits of the world, if we look out into the world today, just read some of the news stories or watch some of the news events that are on TV, well, the habits of this world seem far away, and it seems to be accelerating exponentially. So to the new man or the new woman that's in us, this sin really doesn't have a whole lot of allure. It still tempts us. We still get tempted. But God is near to us. God's purified us by the blood of the new covenant in His holy baptism. He's made us to endure and to stand by the gift of His sacrifice that He gives to us in His holy supper, His body, His blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. And God's actually recreated us as new people. Behold, I make all things new, says the Lord. We're shining bright. We're like that mirror in the top of the crucible. We're like a silver coin with all of the dross that's gone. And now the image of God is made clear and bright. It's a sign of God's nearness in the world, that you are a sign of God's nearness in the world and His nearness to the world, bringing salvation. So is God so far away that we can't return to Him? No. Because let's face it, it's not really we who return to God. Because He never left. I beg to differ with Nietzsche. God is not dead. God never left. He says, I, the Lord your God, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, for that reason, because God does not change, that's the reason, because He doesn't change, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. You're not dross to be thrown away. We are refined like silver. See, God's unchanging resolve to love you and to love me and to love the world in His Son Jesus Christ does not change. Nor does His forgiveness of sins. Nor does the resurrection that He promises to all who die in faith. The Lord's unchanging resolve to love us, to forgive us, and to provide, even at those moments when He seems far away, that's the reason He returns us to Himself. Because we don't live by faith. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. Because we believe. The Lord is always near to us. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.